We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Excuse me. We're on the air.
That's right. This is Pastor Jolly John McComsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And we're at New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And I have on my right hand...
It's one of those mornings, huh? Forgot to turn on the mics. And I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church and Word of Life Lutheran School in St. Louis, Missouri.
And you know what? I think we forgot to mention this last week, but this is, together,
Wrestling with the Basics. Hopefully people figured it out.
Hopefully they did. What is this show? What are we listening to here? What is this? Well, if you missed it last week, yes, this is Wrestling with the Basics.
And it was last week, too.
It was, in fact, every Saturday at 9:05 here on KFUO 850 AM. Or you can listen on demand. You can iPod us or go on the website, KFUOAM.org, and click on the website and literally listen to us anytime, anywhere. In fact, if you're having trouble getting to sleep, we recommend put on one of our shows and within, you know, minutes.
If that.
And yes, the reason I forgot to turn on the mics is we usually, well, our tagline is we put the fun in the fundamentals, and so I'm trying to figure out something funny to say. And
yeah. Well, I've got something.
Something came to mind. All right, thank you, Matt.
I think I shared this with you off the air, but we can do it on the air. And this is from one of our members over at Ascension, Terry. Ah. Who volunteers his time over at the zoo, so he has a zoo joke.
Okay.
So St. Louis,
right.
apparently this one is a big hit over at the St. Louis Zoo.
Okay.
So
we'll give it a try with KFUO.
So there's this deli where they advertise they make any kind of sandwich you want, any kind of sandwich, or else they'll give you $20.
Yeah, you know, I think you did hear that. I remember you telling me that one.
But I don't think I did. I do it on the air?
No, you didn't do it on the air, Matt. And there's maybe a good reason for it. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we're staying consistent, if nothing else, with the bad joke.
That's what people at this point are saying. Funny? Is that what they're doing at the beginning of the show?
We thought
they were just killing time. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay, so
we're back
zoo.
At the deli. The zoo deli. I don't know if it's a zoo deli, but it's a deli.
Okay. The joke's a big hit at the zoo, but not necessarily the delis at the zoo.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So the man walks in the deli. You can get any kind of sandwich you want. They advertise we give you $20. So the man's like, all right, well, let me give this a shot. I'll take a elephant sandwich on rye. And so the person goes, all right, no problem. And he goes in the back, and they hear this banging and clanging of pots and pans and slamming of doors. And the guy comes back, and the guy, the worker, and he slaps $20 down on the counter. And the customer goes, huh, couldn't do it, huh? Couldn't make me an elephant sandwich. You out of elephant? And the guy said, no, we ran out of rye.
Ran out of rye.
Yeah, the elephant was no problem.
That they had.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Now that we've told it. All right. We've told it. We've explained it. We clarified the deli was not at the zoo.
That's right.
Terry, sorry for butchering your joke.
But thank you, Terry. Thank you for delivering us, because we hadn't thought of anything funny to begin the show with.
Boy.
And that's still my
argument. And that's the best we could do.
That's as good as we told that joke instead. And again, as I said before, we'll say again.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Yes, there is. All right. Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Terry. Yes, we're in the middle of a little study about the Good Shepherd. And last week we were talking about the fact that the emphasis is on the voice of the Good Shepherd, not seeing the Good Shepherd, but hearing the Good Shepherd.
Yes.
which I think is just a profound thing for us to consider, because right now there are people listening to us who cannot see God in their lives. They just can't. They're seeing all kinds of struggles and all kinds of trials. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and in that face of death, either the loss of a loved one or maybe our own crisis and struggles, you just don't see that God is around. Where is he at? But the exhortation of the Holy Scripture is just listen. Listen to his voice, and you will know that he's still present there. And the voice of the shepherd is always consistent. It is like you said, Matt. We recognize that voice. He calls us by name, and he assures us in the midst of our crosses and trials, he still is our beloved shepherd, and we are his dear fluffy quadrupeds, as you put last week. And again, briefly remind us how you tied that in with motherhood, just real quickly. How did that tie in for mother? Because that was the thing. We had to talk about the good shepherd, but we also had to talk about mothers
a few weeks ago. I talked about how children know the voice of their mother, and not only know the voice of their mom, but can distinguish the voice of their mother from other mothers, other women, so early, in fact, that it's even before birth. And time again, research has backed that up. And so for that child, that unborn baby even, to hear the voice of mom and to recognize that voice, for the heart rate to speed up, as study shows, because they know it's that familiar voice they've heard so many times and a voice that they've connected to love and care, they know that voice of mom. And so also with the voice of the Good Shepherd. We know the voice of that Good Shepherd, that voice that we hear again and again through the Scriptures, where we're guaranteed that it's God's Word. And that's the voice of our Shepherd coming through loud and clear when he says that he's the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, that he's the Good Shepherd and no one can snatch his sheep out of his hand. We know that's our Shepherd talking then. And so the more familiar we are with God's Word, the better we are as Christians, as sheep of our Good Shepherd's flock, to be able to distinguish that voice of the Good Shepherd from all the other false shepherds, those false voices, the voices of thieves, as Jesus says, out in our world. Because the shepherd's voice is that voice of love and care, that voice that we hear in his word and that we as his sheep know and by God's grace follow.
And in just a moment, Matt, we will illustrate how you can tell the difference between the voice of the stranger, of the thief and the robber, from the voice of the Good Shepherd. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I wanted to share with how I tied this whole thing into Mother's
Good.
Day. Okay? Because I said, actually what we do on church on a Sunday morning is an illustration of what we're talking about. That you can't see what's going on, but if you listen carefully to the words of your shepherd, you can understand. You can see, I suppose, with your heart, by faith, what's going on. And at that point, do you guys use the usual communion liturgy over there with a whole Hosanna, holy, holy, holy?
Oh, yeah, the Sanctus.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Well, I had the congregation read the words that introduce the Sanctus, that leads us into the Sanctus.
Oh, yeah, preface. Yeah.
Yeah, the preface. And these beautiful words, at the Easter season, we say, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses, and with angels and archangels and the whole host of heaven. And I pointed out to them, you can't see that. You look around you, you just see the same old people you see week in and week out. And yet, according to the promise of the Scripture, we're actually surrounded by angels there in church, and archangels even.
Yeah.
But then I said, also the heavenly host, the host of heaven. I thought, think about what that means. And I said, this is why going to church is a great place to go to celebrate Mother's Day, because when you go to church to celebrate Mother's Day, you can not only have the mother that you can see with you, but you are also still there with the mothers that you can't see. The mother, perhaps, whom God has taken home to be with him in heaven, the grandmother, the great-grandmother. And I shared with them that often, you know, when we do the liturgy, admittedly, even for a pastor, it goes in one ear and out the other, right?
Maybe even more so for a pastor who's so familiar with it.
We're doing it all the time, angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. But I said, every once in a while, I realize when I hear that phrase, all the company of heaven, I think about it, I understand it, and realize that my first wife, my beloved wife, Jan, she's singing holy, holy, holy with me. My grandmother, Anita, who is really the reason I'm here today, Matt. If it wasn't for my grandmother, Anita, I would not be a pastor. Who knows what I would be. But she was very, very a beloved Christian, loving woman, and it was very much her hope that I would serve the Lord full time. And they're there singing along with us that Sanctus, as you said. And I said, isn't that neat to know that we can't see that? We can't see that. But it is the promise of God that that would be. And then I talked about how people like to go out to the cemetery to talk to their departed. Mm-hmm. And again, nothing against that. It makes logical sense. That's the last place we saw them. So why wouldn't we go there to visit with them? But, you know, there's no biblical promise that there's anybody to hear us there. In fact, the Bible says that what's there is a shell or maybe a pile of ashes, depending on whether they were buried or cremated. Their spirit is in peace with the Lord Jesus in heaven, which is, of course, great comfort. The only promise that God makes about cemeteries is that someday he's going to reunite the body of our loved one with their soul and spirit. They will be resurrected from the dead. But I invited people to think about the promise God has made to us about the Lord's Supper. Because you remember what Jesus said to his disciples after he gave them the bread and the wine? And I believe he's also saying it to us. I will not drink anew of this fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in the kingdom of the Father. And so there is that comfort then that when we gather, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we cannot see these things. We cannot see his body and blood. We just see bread and wine. And that's all we'll ever see, people. That's the limitation of our physical eyesight. But again, by the voice of the shepherd, we hope that we also know there is his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, the very reason why we and our loved ones will be some united physically, where we can actually will see each other with our eyeballs. But for right now, we do have that comfort and hope from the voice of our shepherd that these people are indeed singing the praises of God together with us. So that was my tie of Mother's Day in with the Good Shepherd story.
That's great. And I think that's something important to remember every Sunday, every time we gather together in worship. If you want to be closest to, joined with your loved ones who have gone before us in faith, come to worship, because you're right. There we are at the Lord's Supper, and that communion rail extends beyond the walls of that church all the way up into heaven itself as we join in the worship and praise of our Savior together. That invisible church, sometimes we call it. All believers of all times, of mothers, and going mothers all the way back to Mary. Yeah, to Eve, to have that promise of the coming Savior, and join together. It's just an amazing thought. Something, and I love how you said, by now we just have that by faith. We see with eyes of faith, God-given eyes of faith. But someday, on the other side of heaven, we'll see it with our eyes. How marvelous.
And we can't see it now because our eyes are not just blind spiritually, but they're dead spiritually. They're just incapable of seeing those things because we like to do that. We like to try to see where God's at work in our lives. And I think we just need to acknowledge, we probably can't do that. But that's okay because, as you pointed out last week, we've got the voice of the shepherd. That's all we need. We listen to his voice. He'll tell us what's going on. And of course, waiting for that time when we will be resurrected and have bodies like into his glorious body. And then, yes, we actually literally, with our own physical eyes, will be able to see Jesus, Mary Magdalene, the saints, and of course, all our loved ones gathered together at this great banquet feast of the Lamb. And you know what? When I think about it, it humbles me, because how many times do I go to church because it's my moral imperative, right? It's my moral obligation.
Well, you're getting paid to
church.
Do it, too.
I get paid, which is neat. So I can do my moral obligation and get paid for it.
Hey, what a deal.
Great deal. And then I think, man, I am a sinner, because here's so much great, wonderful things that are going on, and all I can do is make it into some good work I'm performing. But there again, that just proves the fact that I am a sinner, which is why Jesus Christ did have to give up that body and blood on the cross so that I could be forgiven. Now, you ready to change gears?
Okay.
Well, because we're doing this story of the Good Shepherd, and then all of a sudden read what Jesus says in the next verse.
Okay, so we're back in...
Well, actually start with verse 6, if you would.
Okay, we're in John chapter 10, and we're picking
John
up
chapter
with verse
10,
6.
Thank you. And this is Wrestling with the Basics.
That makes up for last week. Okay.
Yeah, we said
so
it twice.
Jesus has just talked about the Good Shepherd and the thief and their voices.
Yeah.
And then verse 6 says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.
Okay. And so my English teacher, Mrs. Lang, from senior year, she would have put a big red mark on this because she always said, don't mix your metaphors, right? So Jesus is going, well, I'm the shepherd. And then all of a sudden, well, they don't understand what that means. So he says, well, I'm the door. Like, that helped. So, Matt, obviously, I've worked through this. It was part of my sermon. But what do you think? Why does Jesus change the image here from him being the shepherd to him being the door of the sheep? Any significance
well,
you see in that?
I suppose partly just precisely because they don't get it. And perhaps okay. Well, maybe this will maybe it'll help a little bit. And really, it is keeping in line with what he is saying. So Jesus has kind of set the scene in the following verses, or in the preceding verses, rather, where there's the sheep pen, okay?
Yes.
So typically that was the stone wall that was maybe waist high, a little bigger, that would keep the sheep in the pen. And there's one way in, one way out, and that's through the gate. And of course, Jesus says, the thief, he doesn't go in that way. No, he can't get in. The gatekeeper wouldn't let him in. So he sneaks in over the wall. The shepherd, he comes in through the gate. All right. So now Jesus says that he is the gate. He is the door. And this idea that in that culture, sometimes if they're out in the country, especially this kind of a makeshift sheep pen, perhaps even, and maybe there wasn't a literal door or gate there, especially at night, the shepherd himself would lay down and he would literally be the door. And so he was really putting his life on the line in some ways. If there was a wolf that came, a predator, a lion, tiger, bear, oh my, he would be the one in between this.
An elephant?
An elephant. Yeah, on a sandwich maybe. Not on rye. But if a predator came, they would have to get through the shepherd before they got to the sheep. He's really laying down his life, almost literally, for the sheep. He's that door in and out. Keeping the sheep in, keeping them safe where they need to be, but also keeping the predator out with his own body.
So actually, from a Jewish standpoint, he's not changing the image. Because in a very literal sense, the shepherd was also
very
the door.
Good. Yeah, yes, very good. Yeah, very good. So to our American ears, or wherever our listeners are at, to many of our ears, these are mixed metaphors, like your English teacher might say. But I think that's a great point. No, he's doing the job of the good shepherd. A good shepherd would also be the gate, the door.
And I was thinking then from a theological standpoint how important this is, because as much as we love the image of Jesus as shepherd, there's a danger in that image, Matt, and the danger is we think the program of Christianity is how well you follow the shepherd. So that's what Christianity is all about. You better be a good follower. You better be listening, and you better be following. And it dawned on me that that's not the program of Christianity. We make that the program. We divide the church up into the good sheep who come to church every week and everything. But then we have those other sheep, you know, they only come on Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day, you know. But I think it's important for us to realize that's not how Jesus sees his flock. He doesn't see it as two flocks. It's one flock. Of course, he's always glad when the sheep show up, because then he can give them the green pastures and still waters. He can take care of them. That's what a shepherd wants to do. He wants to protect and cares for his sheep. And as you pointed out so beautifully last week, apart from the voice, how can he do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way he can do it, is by speaking to us, by giving us his voice. And yet, on the other hand, he's also very explicit that the sheep that have wandered away, he loves them too. In fact, he's going to do everything he can to go out and find them and bring them back, rejoicing with the angels in heaven that we can't see, but they're rejoicing. Unlike us, we just sit at the sidelines and say, oh, well, that's up to them. That's their fault. That's their problem. But not the Lord Jesus. He just wants to gather his sheep someplace where he can care for them and make them safe. So that's the point. There's only one way you get into the flock, isn't it? It's through the door of Jesus Christ. You didn't get in there because you were such a good sheep. In fact, you're spiritually blind. No wonder sheep wander away. We don't even know where to go. But we're all there read the next verse, Matt. Read the next verse.
Okay, so we're in chapter 10 of John. Verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
Yeah, so there's the point. There's only one way you get into the flock, and that is through the door, which is Jesus Christ, because he's the one that saves you. You're not saved because you're such a good sheep or a good follower. You're saved the way all sheep are saved, by Jesus Christ. And I also like the fact that we go in and we also do what, Matt?
Go out.
And it's important for us to realize that we come to church, we gather here with Wrestling with the Basics, but you can't just stay here listening to the radio. You can't just stay listening to the voice of your shepherd via the pastor in a church service. You got to go out because, Matt, there are people out there who don't know they're the sheep of Jesus, and they are lost sheep. And how will they return, and how will they know that they are the sheep of God apart from hearing the voice of the shepherd? If we don't love, if we don't care for them, if we don't invite them to come in with us, how will they ever hear that voice and know they are the sheep and he is their good shepherd as well? Like you said, the one who lays down their life, his life for them, I should say. So
yeah, I really like that. It's a beautiful illustration. So we use our voices to share with them the voice of that good shepherd so that they too would know him, be a part of his flock, so that they too can say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, to say that with confidence and to share that and proclaim with others too so that they may know him as their shepherd.
And then we only have one verse left then.
Okay.
You want to read the final verse there?
Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
And we're back again, as we were talking about last week, that Jesus in this parable is also talking to the Pharisees. And it occurred to me this idea of thief and robber was a perfect picture for those Pharisees. Do you know the difference between a thief and a robber, Matt?
Well, one begins with an R, the other begins with a T.
Thank you, Matt.
You have such a way of your English
succinct,
teacher.
Making things so succinct. No, actually, what I was thinking of is the fact that a thief is someone who takes something away from you stealthily. So he's the one that picks your pocket. Mm-hmm. And a robber is one who takes something away from you by force. He holds a gun to your head and says, give me your billfold. And it occurred to me that's a perfect description of both of these Pharisees. Because they tried to take this blind man. Remember, that's the context again. This is what I never realized before. This is the context of a man born blind. And you can see how they tried to take that man away from his shepherd, Jesus Christ, by stealth. By telling him, no, you got to believe in Moses. You don't believe in Jesus. See, they tried to use their false teaching, and when that didn't work, they treated him with force, didn't they? They literally cast him out of the church, which meant he would have been anathema to everybody in his community and his culture at that time. And that's how the enemies of the shepherd work. They try to mislead him. You talked about that, about the false teachers, the false voices, because they want to lead us someplace else other than our shepherd, Jesus Christ. And as we've sadly seen here lately, if that doesn't work, then they will physically harm us, just like those Nigerian guys did with those young girls over there. So it is the enemies we face, but I'm comforted by that concluding verse where we got a shepherd. Don't worry about the enemies because we have a good, great, powerful shepherd, and his intent is to give us life and in its fullness.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, you bet. And keep in mind, too, that main thief behind all that is Satan himself.
There you go.
Using every trick in the book, whether it's robbery or thievery, whether it's by stealth or by violence, he's behind it all. But yet, our good shepherd is greater than any thief, any robber.
And it's really easy to see the false teachers, Matt, because they're the ones that want to lead us someplace other than Jesus Christ, other than the door. See, they want to suggest there's some other way of getting in and out other than Jesus Christ. And
And, you know, he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But then, just kind of finish up in verse 18 here. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. So that beautiful promise at the end that even in laying down his life, he also took that life back up, rose from the dead, showing that he's more powerful than that thief, Satan, more powerful than even death itself. That's our good shepherd.
And all of this is, again, so that we can have life in heaven in its fullness, which means not just life here and now, but the life eternal that we can enjoy with our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and all the other beloved ones who await our arrival there in heaven.
So, amen.
Thank you, Matt. It's been fun talking about the Good Shepherd. Blessings.